Instigators, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Game two in Tampa. Kept in the zone by Savard. Out in front for point. He scores! Kucherov finally able to gain control. Then three Islanders get back. But Kucherov with a brilliant pass and the finish by Pilon, who scores!
Let's go back to the telly here. Too many men on the ice. Look at this, Bush. Look at this. Let it go, let it go, let it go. Look at this. That's too many men on the ice.
Barkley Goodrow with it for Tampa Bay. Back out for a drop by Rudolph. He scores! Puck played by Kucherov. And then across for Hedman. Scores! 4-1. Tampa Bay power play goal. The Lightning come back on home ice in game two. And they defeat the Islanders by the score of 4-2.
All right, that looked like a little bit of a different series last night. Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG. Rob Ray joining us here until 11. Ryan Lomberg joining us at 11. We look forward to that. Razor, sorry you can't stick around for that. Or can you? We'll figure that out as we get into the show, maybe. You might want to stick around and talk to this guy. He's right up your alley. Are things heating up on the Jack Eichel front? And who is this first-round pick that we're going to get? Or where are we going to get it, I should say, that everyone seems to be talking about. And is it for Jack or is it for Sam? We'll get into that today, too. Instigators, as I mentioned, WGR 550 and MSG. Good morning, guys.
How's it going? Hi, Petey.
How are you?
Good to have you
I'm
on,
doing
Robert.
Well. What's that?
Good to have you on. What's new?
Yeah, no, it's nice to be on, guys. I sat and listened to you guys the other day. I was messing around in my garage over there. And Marty took total control. Does he not know that it says Andrew and Craig of the Instigators? Well, and listen, his name is nowhere in there.
You need to understand something. Craig and I, on Monday nights and Thursday nights, we play Fortnite together till about 4 in the morning. Because we know that come Tuesday and Friday, that show's easy. The show is easy. We just sit back, say good morning, and it's on your mark. It's set. Go. And next thing you know,
it's like filling up a helium balloon, squeezing the edges, you know, to make where the, and just squeaking, hearing that, just it's like his lips are going. It's he enjoys,
but we appreciate you tuning in, Rob.
And we know he's listening.
I was working on my lawnmower the other day and I had that down in the truck, you know, there, and I had to stop twice doing what I was doing to try to figure out what the heck he was trying to get at. But he's never wrong. Wrong, is he?
Well, we talked about that with him. This is not the roast of Marty Biron was a couple of
like
years
both
ago.
Both of you guys could say one thing, he'll say another, and he'll convince you that what he's saying is right.
Well, he won't convince us. We just surrender because we do have to move on.
Oh gosh!
Hey, it's just it's how the radio business works. So what's going on, Razor? What's you watching the playoffs? Did you watch that game last night?
I watched last night. Yeah, it was good. I thought the Islanders were, you know, they're playing their game, but they're up against a pretty smart team that moves the puck pretty well. And you know, you get running around a little bit trying to look that big hit all the time, they're going to pick you apart. And they were able to do that last night. And yeah, I thought it was a great game for Tampa Bay.
Too many men on the ice. Should this be reviewable? I mean, look, this has nothing to do with our lunch bet, Craig, which is now at 1-1 in this series because I picked the Islanders. But, I mean, you have 7 players on the ice. Granted, did not have anything to do with the play. But still, if you're watching a normal game and there's just a cycle going on in the corner and there's 7 guys on the ice, they're going to get called for it.
Maybe it's because the refs decided that, you know, we're not going to review this because we completely screwed up on the
early,
you know, point penalty. He gets pushed into the goaltender at full speed. Cannot stop himself, cannot control himself. The only reason why he went into the goaltender is because of the defenseman. He gets a penalty? And then they go and score, what, 30 seconds later. I'm like, come on, man. This is the Stanley Cup Conference Finals. These refs got to do a better job here. This is not a good call, unless you guys disagree, and then we can sit and spend 20 minutes over this, because this is ridiculous. This is a terrible call by a ref. He, you know who should be getting a penalty is the defenseman who pushed.
Knocked him into it.
Yeah. I mean,
this happens a lot, though. This happens a lot. How, remember, we had the conversation, remember, I think, against Philadelphia when Montour knocked somebody into Hutton and Hutton hit his head on the post? Do you remember that? Like, yeah. Why do players do this? Why do players push opposing players toward their goalie? I don't understand it.
It's the last ditch effort to try and, you know, have these guys lose balance, lose control of the puck. I mean, if he does not push Point there, Point's going to have total control of the puck, and he's probably going to score. So you have to do something. It's the last ditch effort. And guess what? The goaltenders are always the one that takes the brunt and they get hit. And you had Vasilevsky or Varlamov that had to leave the game because of it for a short period of time.
Do you know who I could listen to?
I think my guy's not able to be in the blue paint there. Then, you know, they're trying to toe that line. So sometimes you get right up to that line and you're not have perfect balance because you want that positioning. And it's not always the balance is there. And you get touched sometimes very little, and you're going to lose control. And you're going to lose your balance. You're going to get knocked into the goaltender. But you're right. They have so many other options to move the guy in any direction. And I would say 50% of the time, it's on top of the goaltender.
They because always push Ribs him is in
right. the Yeah, Ribs is right, because it's their last – they're out of position. They got beat, and they got to show that they did something. If they stood there and let the guy get the puck and possibly score, then it's like, what the heck are you doing? So, hey, let me just push this into the goaltender and just hope everything turns out okay.
Yeah. I watched this Tampa Bay team.
Stupid play.
I'm going to tell you, I just don't see how any team right now can beat this team.
I'm not feeling confident about our lunch bet after last night. I'm really not.
I mean, Tampa Bay is absolutely loaded. You look at, they have the best goaltender in the world right now. Is that arguable? Are we going to argue about Vasilevsky is the best goaltender in the world right now? It's not arguable. Carey Price has played well, and so has Varlamov, and so is Fleury. But Vasilevsky is the best goaltender in the world, and there's no denying it. Then you look at their defense. Their defense is big and extremely mobile. I mean, you look at, Victor Hedman is the best defenseman in the world right now. I think we can somewhat agree on that too. And you look at the players that are surrounded around him, with Mikhail Sergachev and McDonough. And, Savard, I mean, these, Sirnik and Ruda, these are all really big, well, great skaters. They're all physical. They all defend exceptionally well. The defense corps is as good as you are going to get in any team in the National Hockey League.
And hey, Craig,
the forward line. The forward lines are loaded with elite. You have to have elite game breakers. So guys like, did you watch Kucherov last night? How it's like you don't see him and then you see him because he's making a play that you're like, wow, this is.
How about the play he made to Palat?
No, Point.
Was it Palat Point?
Point. Yeah. The no look behind the back pass, the Point going around behind the net. It's just, Braden Point is world-class. Kucherov is world-class. Steve Stamkos is world-class. I mean,
the hardest working game I've seen Steve Stamkos play in a long time.
It's incredible.
Last night he was on
fire. How many goals did he get? Many goals? He didn't get any goals.
Nothing.
And I don't even think he got a point. Maybe he did get a point.
Who?
I'm not, Stamkos.
Oh, I thought you were talking Kucherov. By the way, I was talking about was the play on Palat's goal.
Two guys over. He stopped.
He had two or three guys on him. Yeah. He just circled, tight turn, and then just threw it into open space into the middle of the zone, and in comes Palat. and he puts it over the blocker. I mean, yeah, he's absolutely incredible. Go on.
So when you're looking at their top skilled players, you know, even Palat looks fantastic. Kucherov, Point, Sorelli is outstanding, hardworking, highly skilled. They're loaded. And then all of a sudden you put together arguably my favorite line and arguably the line that plays the most every single game. And that's Yanni Gourde. That's Blake Goodrow and Coleman.
Coleman.
And I'm like, this line has so much speed, so much energy. They're physical. Like Blake Coleman, you know, Goodrow, they're unbelievable. They're so physical, so fast, and they have ability to score each and every time they're on the ice. And the funny thing is, you go to their fourth line, they have Johnson on their fourth line, a $5 million player that has scored multiple 20-goal seasons and point. He's their fourth line center with Patrick Maroon, who's an underrated physical player that adds a huge element to their team because not only is he a tough guy, he can play the game. Their whole team is loaded. I don't see how another team, except in my opinion, maybe Vegas, the only team in the league right now that could probably match up to Tampa Bay.
Yeah, and I think you're too. You're talking about a team that's got the high end talent, and even to their bottom end, their bottom three, there's a huge difference. Yes, but when you're playing against that team, who do you match up against? Who? Oh, you want to put your best checking line against Kucherov? Okay, go ahead. You know what? I got three more lines that can score. Three more lines that can hurt you offensively. You shut them down, and they're very confident carrying the load. So I just think, you know, you're playing the Islanders right now. Yeah, they like playing their fourth line, Martin, and these guys get in banging around. I think that effect kind of goes away a little bit when you're playing this team because they do have – not to counter it physically and size wise, but they're going to take advantage of it, you know, offensively, because those guys are going to open up because they're so aggressive and they'll make mistakes and it'll cost them.
Yeah. And I want to add just one more thing. And this is just my feeling and my opinion. The Islanders are a fantastic team. They're so structured in the way that they play. They have a lot of very good players, but I'm going to tell you this. Could you imagine taking Cizikas, Martin, and Cal Clutterbuck off that team? Just eliminate that line and put just a different group. It's almost like that line makes that team tick. I don't know if you guys feel the same way, but I mean,
that line goes. If that line is on and they're doing their job and they're being effective, then everybody else follows along. But I'm not convinced there that if you didn't have that line, that Amet Barzals and these guys are going to be able to carry your team.
You know who the most impressive
player, but I don't think he's got the motor yet or the mind yet to be that guy that's going to, hey, get on my back, boys. Here, we don't have them. I'll carry you.
Yeah. Rob Blaintill, 11. Ryan Lomberg at 11. We'll talk some Sabres here in a minute. But do you know who I just look forward to watching when Tampa Bay is playing on a nightly basis, win or lose? John Cooper. Is he not the best interview in the NHL?
Like, well, he's won a lot, I'll tell you that.
It's and not even winning. I just listened to him speak and the way
demeanor. I mean, his demeanor is so calm. He's so collective, even when he's angry and he's upset with a call or something that's going on. Because you know as well as I do, if you have a coach that's completely losing his marbles on the bench, okay, that affects the players. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So when you have a coach lose control and the emotion hits the, you know, the ceiling, the players on the bench automatically start to feel that energy. John Cooper is always in control. He's always in control. I'm sure the way he speaks, he's very firm with his players and they understand what he wants, but he's always calm, cool, and collected. And I think that's what I appreciate when I watch him the most, is his demeanor when things are going, you know, rough. He always seems like he's in control, and that's a good thing for the guys that are playing in front of him.
You know, yeah,
Go ahead.
No. Go ahead, Ray.
No, I just think he's always got a great control of what's going on in the game. And I think a good example of that was last night. Remember when they scored the first power play goal? And then they got another power play shortly after. Those guys were caught in the ice. He calls a timeout with, you know, 15 minutes left in the third period. You know, yeah, in anticipation of, hey, we score here, this game's over. You know, that's going to give us a 3-goal lead. A lot of coaches aren't going to think that way. A lot of coaches are going to think, oh, I need to save that, you know, if it's tight at the end. And, you know, they might not end up using it. But he had the confidence in his guys. Hey, I call timeout now. I'm going to give Stamkos these guys a little bit of a break and go from there. You don't see that unless something's going bad sometimes that they're willing to do that. I think he's got a good feel of what's going on in the game as the game is happening in front of him.
One takeaway I will say watching the playoffs this year, but the playoffs last year and the playoffs the year before, and especially St. Louis, and now that the Sabres have the number one pick, is Craig, I know we talk about trading the number one pick and a lot of people are open to that, but I watched the defense. They're all big. They're all huge. I went through all the defense of the four teams left in the playoffs, and I think there was one that's 5'11", a couple that were 6 feet. Like, I think Andy Green was the smallest defenseman in the playoffs right now at 5'11".
Yeah. And Andy Green, what is he, like 38? But
it's going to be 39.
Andy Green is a competitor. It's not about size. It's about how you compete. And Andy Green is a competitor. And what does he do very well? He skates exceptionally well.
Yep.
And he's a smart guy. He moves the puck. He's a great player. But, yes, you look at Tampa Bay. Go look at Tampa Bay's defense.
They're huge. Yeah.
They're all 6'3". They're all 220 pounds. They are big, but they all skate exceptionally well.
Okay, Ribs, how come last week when we were on this, you were saying, oh, let's, you know, you move the pick and this and that, instead of we were saying stockpile the D. Build your D and work your way up.
So
were you doing that
again,
just to be a funny
again,
guy?
Again,
or were you just...
No, you have to understand what I'm trying to say, Rob, and it all makes sense. When I talk about moving Owen Power, people look at me like, are you on drugs? And here's the thing. I've had this conversation with some, you know, friends off the air, and they were like, you're crazy. And they went on and on and on. And I said, okay, give me a second. And I want you to understand my thought process. So once I tell them that, what my thoughts are, at the end of it, I say, how do you feel now? They're like, yeah, I understand. Okay. Yeah, let's move them.
Sure.
Swear to God. Yeah. And if you give me one minute, I'll give you an understanding of what my thought was.
Okay. Well, there's a lot of repeat listeners on a daily basis. So why don't you remind them and new listeners of what your thought is? Because after watching the defense in the playoffs, and that includes Montreal, that includes Vegas, that even includes the Islanders, they're not as big. They're not as big, but, you know, they got a few guys that are 6'2".
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not trading Owen Power. I'm not.
Okay, so
hear me out. 6 foot five, 6 foot.
You got to understand one thing. I'm not trading Owen Power either. Unless there's deals that were made before that would allow me to move the pick to acquire another piece that we need. Okay, so for me, let's just say hypothetically, and this is a huge hypothetical, that we trade Jack Eichel, let's just say to the Rangers, because there's lots of teams out there, but let's just use the Rangers for an example. And let's just say in that trade with the Rangers, with Jack Eichel, that we would acquire a defenseman, Keandre Miller. Do you guys know Keandre Miller?
Yes.
Huge. 6'5", he's 225 pounds, 21 years old, national development kid. He skates exceptionally well. He has insane upside. So right now we just acquired Keandre Miller and another major piece, okay, or pieces.
But doesn't Owen Power...
I look at that and I say, now we have Rasmus Dahlin, 6'3", 108 pounds. We have Keandre Miller, who's 6'5".
Now you don't need Keandre Miller in that deal.
And now we
have Owen Power.
No, you don't. You need to ground your Miller Owen Power dog. Yeah, so you keep stacking it up.
Okay, there you go, Razor. I'm fine with that too. I'm fine with that too, Razor.
We have Darlene, 6'3", 208. We have Keandre Miller that we acquired is 6'5", 225. We have Matias Samuelson, who's 6'5", 225. Now we have three defensemen that are all well over 6'3". They're big, they're strong, they're physical guys. You have Will Borgen on the other side, who's 6'3". He's very physical. So you can understand what I'm trying to, what I'm talking about with our defense corps, okay? Now you take a first overall pick in Owen Power, and you now have to start acquiring pieces on the offense. If you had an opportunity, I'm saying these are crazy. This is crazy.
You have drafted Craig over the years. I know you want to get Quentin Byfield for that pick, and I understand
over the years,
look at the forwards they've drafted over the years. Middlestad, Quinn. Sam's going to be gone. Help me out here. There's more, but in the last couple drafts, you've drafted forwards. Gillen Cousins is another one. So you have three right there.
Where is name me the elite young forwards on our team right now.
Those guys are going to come in the Jack Eichel trade. And they're going to come as Sam Ryan. Yes.
Are they? You're sure?
Way easier to go out and get a premier forward than it is a D.
Absolutely.
People do not trade premier D.
Would you consider Darlene premier?
Yeah.
Would you consider Keandre Miller premier?
Getting there.
Okay.
He's premier. Matias Samuelson, at his size, at his age, he is going to be a stud. He's built with character, physicality.
Yeah, okay, we're not arguing with that, Riz.
Okay.
But why not?
You don't need Owen Power.
Why not have six of those studs back there? And then you work your way up. You got some young kids. You make a couple deals up front.
We don't need Owen Power. Craig, Owen Power is not going to be here next year. If they draft him or not, he should go back to college. So don't put Owen Power in the mix yet. Keep him. He's going to marinate for a year.
Why would I want Owen Power when I have these are hypotheticals. Darlene, a 6'5" Keandre Miller and a 6'5" Matias Samuelson on the left hand side.
When I can go and acquire
a Quentin Byfield who's 6'4", 220.
Sorry.
Now you just want to have three of them and then have three other guys. Why not have six of them? You have the opportunity to have six.
Because I don't want six of them.
Why?
Because I want, you have to balance out your team. And right now we have as our young talent, we have Dylan Cousins.
Yeah, but that's because we're not putting Jack and Sam in there because we're trading them and Risto. So you got to remember yesterday. Like, I don't even want picks for these guys. I'll take one of those high picks that we're talking about here, but I want two really good players that you can insert in your lineup right now. Young, 20, 21, 22, already established A-plus prospects,
like
as you mentioned.
Like a Lafreniere.
Perfect.
Lafreniere and a Keandre Miller, I'd do it today.
Yep.
Yes, I agree.
And I'd drive them down there. I'd go pick them up and bring them here.
But let me ask you something, though, Riv. And I'm not saying the Rangers would do this, but you're telling me that Lafreniere and Kaapo Kakko wouldn't get that deal done? I bet you they value Keandre Miller more than they value Kaapo Kakko, even though he was number two overall.
Maybe.
100%.
Maybe. That's why I want Keandre Miller, because he is an absolute stud.
And we have the number one pick. With a young kid
who has a very good chance of being a stud, and he wants to give it away.
No, I'm not giving it away. I'm acquiring a kid who is going to be a stud,
Craig?
A centerman. The hardest position in this game to play because you're tracking 200 feet of ice. You have to add offense. You have to be defensively responsible. You have to be able to skate. You have to be.
You're only putting this whole build or procedure to put this together on one guy. You got two more guys there in Sam and Risto that are probably good chance of being moved. What are you getting for them?
I haven't even begun.
I know. So you're just putting way too much.
I am acquiring not quantity. I am acquiring quality.
Quality.
And I'm going to tell you, Owen Power is a quality defenseman, and I would trade him for Quinton Byfield, who is a quality forward, a centerman that's going to be in this league for a very long time. He has dominated. I mean, dominated his age group since he was a kid. I've known about this guy. He is a stud.
So with that, we'll go to break. Where does Risto go? Because there, there's the conversation about New Jersey and Ristolainen, and there's your Miles Wood opportunity, Craig, right there.
Done.
We were talking about this yesterday off the air.
As much as I love Risto, and he has been a.
Don't talk about it now because we're going to break. See, that's all part of it. Who could the higher first round pick be that Elliot Friedman is so adamant about? We'll talk about all that. Jack Eichel situation. Ryan Longberg coming up at 11 o'clock. If you don't know who he is, that's a shame. Because his coming out party was, some would say the playoffs, but the Instigators coming out party for Ryan Longberg was during the regular season. And we love players like this. Razor, we're sorry that you can't stick around and chat with him. But he'll join us at 11 o'clock. Energy guy in the league. And some great flow. So we'll talk to him at 11. Instigators, when we come back, more Sabres talk. WGR 550 and MSG. Lomberg of the Florida Panthers will join us at 11 o'clock. We look forward to chatting with him. And he is a new Instigator favorite, as we don't have many around here. So we look forward to chatting with him. So we were chatting at the break. Well, we were talking going to the break as well. But we were chatting at the break. And the conversation of defense, I think, because you're drafting number one, do you need Owen Power? I say you need him. I say you need to get as many of these guys as you can, big defensemen with value, youth. Cost efficiency will be something. But here's something I want to ask you, Craig. You mentioned Keandre Miller. I mentioned we don't even need Keandre Miller in that trade because we have Owen Power. But here's my question. Wasn't Dahlin a left-hand shot defenseman that was a right side defenseman? Wasn't that something that was a thing once upon a time?
Yeah, there are defensemen that shoot left that want to play on the right. But that would be one out of 10 players. Most defensemen want to play on their strong side, but some feel more comfortable. And they're very, very few and far between, but some like to play on their offside.
Right. Okay. But wasn't Dahlin one of those guys, or am I mistaken? I'm quite confident.
I think when he was playing in Sweden, I think he was actually playing the right-hand side, if I'm not mistaken.
So why is it such a problem? Why can't you have four left-hand shot defensemen?
You can. In that situation with Erasmus Dahlin and the skill set and his understanding of how to play the right side and feeling very comfortable, he can be a right side defenseman. And you can have three lefties and you can keep Owen Power. There's no question about it. He is a fantastic. He's got a lot of upside. There's no question about it. He's 6'6". He's 215 pounds. He skates exceptionally well for a big man. He's very calm, moves the puck well. He's got some offensive abilities, not going to be a high end point producing guy. I don't think, like, when I mean that, he's not going to be like a 60 point guy, but he's going to be a really good defenseman. He is going to be a fantastic defenseman. I'm not denying that.
Yeah.
But I also believe that, and I only use this one guy. I just keep talking about one guy over and over, and it's been like this for a couple weeks now. Quinton Byfield to me is a very big very good skater. He's produces points everywhere he's gone. He's everything that we would want as a centerman moving forward
to replace
in the NHL.
Jack.
But why would LA want to move that kid then if he's such a
They don't. Unless they're negotiating through the media.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, okay, even though you say, hey, if that's the deal you're going to is LA and trying to make a deal, why would LA say, no, we're not giving up Byfield? Why would they give up Byfield? And then you're sitting there with aged, you know, centermen, and you're bringing in Jack.
No.
I don't see them.
They're not bringing in Jack for this trade. The trade
that
they're
trading for Byfield.
Just an
I already powers. Told you, like, so. Yes, Owen Power. And here's the reason why I say why I always talk about LA is because there was a discussion in an article a couple months back where Rob Blake, the GM of the LA Kings, spoke about them needing and wanting an elite left-handed shot defenseman, a young one. So in that article, Rasmus Dahlin's name was coming up in that article, okay? And is it possible that there can be a trade with the Buffalo Sabres for Rasmus Dahlin? And it was talking about them wanting an elite young defenseman that shoots left. So now we fast forward a couple months. The Buffalo Sabres acquire and win the lottery, and we are now picking first overall. We have the ability to pick a defenseman that is a left-handed shot. You would consider him elite young defenseman. Now, do we need that young defenseman? Absolutely. Defensemen are premium. But depending on what the trades are going to look like with a Jack or a Sam, and if you bring in another elite young defenseman, like I just mentioned, a hypothetical, a Keandre Miller, now you have a Dahlin, Keandre Miller, and Samuelson on the left-hand side, you might want to try and move a Owen Power to acquire an elite young centerman that's going to be a monster in this league for the next 10 plus years.
Other discussions, Razor, surrounding the draft yesterday was Elliot Friedman mentioned on his podcast. And then today, Pierre LeBrun came out with an article just, you know, talking about the Sabres acquiring another high first round pick for involving either Jack or Sam. Here are the teams that were mentioned: LA, Minnesota, Anaheim, Columbus, Philadelphia, and the Rangers. Are there any that make sense to you?
Minnesota, maybe.
Why do you say Minnesota?
Well, I think you got guys like Parise there. There's kind of questions. You need to start filling in those holes. I know it's big money, but, you know, I would think that Billy Guerin out there would be starting to think, I need a focal point. They got with that young rookie kid. But for the most part, the talent side, the high-end talent, is aging. And I think, you know, Jack maybe in that situation would be, you know, something they could start building around for themselves.
That's interesting. I didn't think about Minnesota. However, I'm looking at the draft thing here. I'm not sure why Pierre LeBrun, I mean, Minnesota must be a rumored team because he threw Minnesota in there. But the thing is about Minnesota, as I'm looking, they don't have a pick in the top 15. So I don't know if that's something else he's talking about, but Riv, is this about Jack or Sam?
Minnesota's in there for one reason. They do not have an elite center. They don't have a high end center. They have some really good players. Minnesota was a very competitive team this year. But they do not have elite centers. And right now, when you look at Minnesota, And the fantastic season they had, their centers right now are Joel Eriksson Ek, Victor Rask, Ryan Hartman, and Nico Strom.
I'm just
sitting there saying, if there's one thing that this team needs, is Jack Eichel.
But they don't have the assets to give
they
for
do not have the assets, as far as I'm concerned, to even, you know, even come close to dealing.
Well, they have two first round picks this year, but they're obviously they have Pittsburgh's and their own when they were in the playoffs. Yeah. So they don't have, I mean, they don't have, in my opinion, the assets to they, well, who'd they draft last year? Didn't they draft that kid last year?
Marcos Rossi.
Yes.
And he's a forward, or a centerman. He's a smaller, insanely crafty, very gifted offensively player. I think he led the OHL the year before in scoring. He plays for the Ottawa 67s. He's a crafty player, but he's not Jack Eichel. He's not even close to Jack Eichel. And Minnesota right now, if there's one thing that they need, is Jack Eichel. There's no question. So that's why they're in there. Do they have the assets to make the trade? I don't know. I don't think they do. We do know that, you know, the New York Rangers would love nothing more to get their hands on a guy like Jack Eichel. He is an elite talent, and it would add to their strong team offensively already, but they would be giving up players like a Lafreniere or someone.
Yeah, but Sam Reinhart garners this high of a pick too. I mean, you know, their team, the people are talking about Anaheim. You couldn't see Anaheim. Like, Razor, you don't think that Sam Reinhart is worth a third overall pick and more? Am I, like, unless someone's going to say that I'm crazy, that Sam Reinhart, a second overall pick who has produced points in this league, isn't worth a third overall pick in a draft where this, we don't even know if the kid's going to make it or not.
Yeah. But, yeah. And I think Sam is at this situation because you're getting into the age of Sam where you're just starting to get the best of what he's probably going to have is, you know, the peak of his career for the next few years. I think whoever it may be that takes Sam, you got to know that you can sign the guy. You know, if you got to be, you know, 100% sure you're going to be able to get a deal done with him to bring him in. I think Sam would like to lean towards the West too, to get back out to the West Coast. So that makes sense in that part. But I think that the key with Sam is you could play him with anybody. You could bring him into your team, play him with whatever star player you may have on your team, and he's going to mesh with them. And he's going to be productive. And he's going to increase the productivity of whomever that, you know, centerman or star player that you have.
Yeah, the only thing I have with Sam is I think Sam is the guy that you're actually going to be talking about with a top 10 pick. And when I look at the top 10 picks in the league this year, I think there's a few teams that would be very interested in Sam. And one of those teams is the Vancouver Canucks. They picked ninth overall. Sam's from Vancouver. Yep. There's the love affair with that. Sam would sign with that team in a heartbeat. You have the LA Kings that pick number 8th overall. Very, very interesting opportunity. I think Sam would sign a long-term deal with that
team. There are reports that they want two top 6 forwards.
Yes, yes. Columbus Blue Jackets pick number 5 overall. The Anaheim Ducks pick number 3 overall. Both those teams need players, but they're in different situations. Columbus Blue Jackets.
I think this guy in his mind, he wants to get back at West. And I think that's not the situation that Sam's looking for. And he's probably
Columbus might be interested.
With one of those other teams.
Columbus might be interested, but in order to make this deal, the team is going to want to know if Sam wants to sign the long-term contract.
Yeah,
I don't think Sam's going to sign a long-term contract with Columbus Blue Jackets because Sam wants to win. Sam wants to be in an opportunity where he can play in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's going to be important to him. I don't think that Sam would want to go to Anaheim because Anaheim's in a major rebuild. And I don't think Sam wants to go out and play in Anaheim and have to go through the tough situation that he would have to go through there. So that's going to be I think you're looking at a Vancouver or an LA King deal for a player like Sam.
Is Turcotte number 8 too much for Sam?
I think Sam garners a lot on the market. And when you look at him, he's played 6 years in the league. He has scored over 20 goals for five of the 6 years. And in his last couple years, he's been, this year he was on pace for 35. The year
does
before,
it get you
he
Gabriel Vilardi? Gabriel Vilardi in number eight? Is that too much?
I think that's a lot. But if that is the deal, then I would probably take any one of those two deals. Like Alex Turcotte was, if I'm not mistaken, you help me out here, Petey, was fifth overall in that draft a year ago, Alex Turcotte. And, you know, the eighth overall pick, that would be a heck of a grab. There's no question. Gabe Vilardi is a fantastic, fantastic young centerman that had a really solid year in LA this year.
I think it's interesting. I think it's very interesting. But I don't know, you know, Elliot says Anaheim could be doing something big. And Sam Reinhart to Anaheim. See, I don't know about the Jack Eichel to anywhere, just because I don't know where they're at with their neck. I mean, with his neck, if it doesn't even Pierre LeBrun mentioned in his article here. He says, "Where is it?" This stuff gets moved.
Hey, yeah, with Jack too, though, you're not a team that's going to go after him and pay a huge price for him. You don't need to have him ready for October. You know, if something has to be done with this guy once they get him. You know, as long as he's ready to go at the trade deadline and on, that's what you need him for.
It was Elliot.
So to make the deal and bring him in and still allow him to review the surgery, if that's what they decide, then fine. He's ready to go by the end of the season.
Elliot in his 31 Thoughts, number 9, said, I did ask around to see if the Sabres gave anyone permission to talk to Jack Eichel, but don't believe that's the case. Everyone's gone into the cone of silence. From what I can tell, the team and its captain are negotiating the next steps of his recovery. Multiple sources indicate that if there's any deal involving either Eichel or Sam Reinhart, do not be surprised if the Sabres end up with a second high first-round selection in July's draft. We'll go to break right now. Final segment with Razor when we come back. I have a fun little thing that Craig won't care about, but Razor might. So maybe we'll do it on the other side of the break. Stick around.
Resorts and casinos. Nothing else comes close.
No time for that, Rob. We got to get rolling because we got Ryan Lomberg coming up at 11.
Okay, that's good.
Instigator favorite.
Looking forward to listening to it.
Although I will tell you this, we don't have a long conversation about it. Riv loves these facts, right? Like, so you can follow Fact on Twitter. I think it's just @Fact. So I go on there every now and then and I find something that maybe Craig will or will not care about. And here's what I found yesterday. NASA once banned beans because astronauts' farts could cause sudden fires on a spacecraft. It's a true fact. Could you imagine that? Sorry.
I think your fact thing is ridiculous. There's no way.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Rive, but we lost Craig. We served the crew beans before they went up into space. And it wasn't the compressor connecting to the fire rockets. It was the beans. We are very sorry. Why do you think they're so wrong, Craig? What do you think? You can't have a blue check mark and be called, oh, they don't have a blue check mark. Well, maybe that again.
There you go. All your fact checks.
The great thing. Well, here you go. I mean, this could, one cigarette contains enough toxic ingredients to kill a person if those ingredients were directly injected into the bloodstream. There you go. Say no to smoking. All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, Ryan Lomberg. I wonder if his nickname's Bill. And if you don't know why, his nickname might be Bill. I'll tell you on the other side of the break, see if his nickname is Bill. Ryan Lomberg, coming up next.